But nothing happens unless you begin to walk in transformation. So basically what I hope is going to happen this morning is that you begin to walk in that step of faith, that journey of faith, to the vision, to the dream that God has for your life. I'm looking at you folks here today, and everybody is special. Everybody is unique. Everybody is different. I'm 6'5", 280, because that's the way that God made me. But everybody here is different and unique and special in the eye of the Lord. And God's got a special work. He's got a special journey just for you, and you can do it. And I believe that everybody here is destined for God's greatness. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor Chris, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the privilege, the honor to be in this pulpit. I want to thank you, and I want to thank Pastor Gary and Pastor John for, again, extending the privilege for me to come and to serve you. So, Father, for the next few minutes, I pray the anointing of the Lord. God, I know these people didn't come to hear from me. They didn't come to see a man. God, they come because they desire that you speak to their spirit. God, some are broken here this morning, Lord. God, some need a financial touch, Lord. God, some need a touch in relationships. Some need a touch, a physical touch in their bodies, Lord. They're hurting, they're ailing, Lord. You know what that need is, Lord. And God, we are in the right place for needs to be met, for needs to be answered. And God, I believe that some people are going to leave her differently because they have felt and they have heard and they have been with the Savior. So, Lord God, I pray that your perfect will be met and done this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the transformation of a twisted soul. I said the transformation of a twisted soul. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke 13. We're going to look at about 7 or 8 verses, 10 through 17. Luke 13, 10 through 17. If you got that, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't, say I need more time, Joe. Matthew, Mark, Luke. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue, he was indignant. In other words, he got mad. He was angry. He was outraged. He was enraged. He was infuriated that Jesus had the audacity to heal on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on these days and be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from the stall on the Sabbath and lead it out to water?" This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? And then I got one more verse, James 1:21. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in which can save you." The transformation of a twisted soul. Now, if you notice verse 16, it's as if Jesus Christ were her attorney, and he defended her against the religious men. You see, they regarded their religion in higher esteem than they did in the deliverance of this woman. And while the woman glorified God, Jesus defended her. There's a correlation between a woman who is distracted by praise, that she does not respond to the criticism. You see, if we can become engrossed in praise, not trying to defend ourselves, then I believe Christ will speak up for you and become your attorney and plead your case. And when they disputed over whether she had a right to be healed, he said in verse 16, isn't it befitting? Isn't it right? Isn't it proper that this covenant woman be healed even on the Sabbath? And I don't care what day it is, I'm going to heal her, and I'm going to leave you guys to argue over it. Wow. I'm going to do what I believe God has called me to do, and if you don't like it, you can just argue over it. There's so much I want to say about this woman. First of all, we see the fad, F-A-D, the fad results of dead religion. It is a travesty that this woman has come to this church or to that church to ministry for 18 years and not improved. To me, it's an indictment on the organized religion in Christ's day. To think that this broken, infirmed, crippled, distraught woman could press her way over her condition to sit in the assembly, to worship, to praise, and magnify God and not be changed from her condition. I realize, I'm a step ahead of you, I realize that healing, impartation, comes from the Lord God. But what is frustrating to me is that her condition has not been challenged. That people became so engrossed in their tradition, in their religion, in their philosophy, that they allowed this woman to come and sit in service after service after service with no recorded word that there was ever any attempt to change her condition. This woman is not like the demonic boy. You know the story. Disciples tried to cast out that demon, but they couldn't do it. In Mark 9, then they came back to Jesus and they said, how come we couldn't do it? And Jesus says, of course, this only comes from prayer and fasting. But there's no recorded record that anybody ever challenged this woman, had challenged her condition, yet in spite of the incompetence of the leadership of this particular or that particular church, in spite of the indifference of the ministry, this woman presses her way, not for 3 months, not for 6 months, not for 2 years, 6 years, for 18 years. She keeps coming to a church and a ministry that has not changed her. 18 years is a long time to hop, scoot, and crawl into a service, limp into a place, sit in the back of the church house, worship God in spite of your condition. 18 years is a long time to live with a problem. It's amazing that somebody can have a problem for 18 days and they want to backslide. 18 weeks and they're drinking again. 6 months, they done left the church and then just cussing and swearing. But this woman, she dug her teeth into her faith. And she held on for 18 years with dogged tenacity. And she was going to praise God whether she got healed or whether she did not get healed. I don't know about you, but I got to salute her. I've got to salute somebody like that. Because anybody can praise God when they get healed. But it takes a real soldier, a covenant woman, a committed, tenacious woman who will praise God in the face of an infirmity that refuses to move. Anybody can praise God when their spouse gets saved, but it takes a tenacious, faith-believing woman to leave a drunk, cursing, swearing, womanizing husband at home while she goes to a woman's retreat or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night service and worships God. And say, Lord, you are still worthy to be praised. It's easy to praise God when you birth 3 healthy kids, 3 healthy children. But when you give birth to a child who is severely handicapped, who will never call your name, who will never smile, who you'll have to feed, you'll have to bathe, you have to educate the best you can. Oh, yeah. It's easy to praise God when you're climbing the corporate ladder, when you're hitting all of your markers. A little harder to praise God when you're flipping hamburgers 20 hours a week at Burger King and you're still not able to pay your rent. Yet you come to this house and you lift up his name and you say, God is great and God is greatly to be praised. I noticed that some Christians, some people falsely have suggested that real faith is proven by how many things you have. I had a brother tell me that once. Real faith is proven to me when you have no external blessing. And you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I remember I was at this church, pastor preaching, and it's one of those churches that you go to, and you go in the door, and the brother says, "Who, Brother Jackson? Good to see you, Brother Jackson. We're excited about you here. God has got a word, God has got a dream, and God has got a vision for you." I said, okay, great, praise God. I'm up for that. And this was before I had my knees replaced. I had them replaced in May of 2019. Brother Jackson, I saw you walking up the stairs to the podium, to the platform, and you got a bad back, don't you? I said, no, man, my back is good. You got a bad hip. I said, no, man, my hip is great. I said, brother, my knees are terrible, and they need to be replaced. I said, you know, they need surgery. And he said, no, no, no. Mm-mm. God's going to heal you this morning. I said, great, praise the Lord. I don't want to have knee surgery. I want to keep what God gave me. So after I preached, it came up, anointed me, prayed for me. Brother Jackson, you healed now, aren't you? I said, no, it's kind of painful. And then they got some others around me. And they said, Brother Jackson, you healed now, aren't you? I went like this. I said, should I just lie and just say, yeah, I'm. I said, well, this time I'm going to tell the truth. I said, no, I'm still not healed, brother. I was at risk. And he said, well, you know what, Brother Jackson, I got to tell you, I know you're a big man, football man, but I got to tell you the truth. The reason why you're not healed is because you got sin in your. I said, there's going to be sin in about 5 seconds, man, when I knock you in the jaw. You can imagine my faith when somebody's got me on my knees, my hands behind my back, has got my head covered. They pull it off. I see my companions dead, heads separated from their bodies, and I'm next. And yet though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's how you can measure my faith. You can imagine my faith when I'm broke as a joke, don't even have two nickels to rub together, don't even have a down payment to a free lunch. And yet Jehovah Jireh, he is my provider. 18 years of hopping over problems. 18 years of living a twisted life. You've seen people. I saw a person a couple months ago, and they were bent over. They were just like this, and they were walking just like this. And I looked, but I didn't want to stare, but I just kind of looked. I said, gosh, that person can't straighten up. And they would just walk just like this, just like this. Of hopping over problems, living a twisted life. And though she was twisted, though she was bent over, though she didn't look like the other women, though she didn't move like the other women, she still came praising God just like the other women. With a twisted body. No, I don't have what you have. No, I haven't been blessed like you have. Oh, but he's still good to me. Oh, yeah, he's still good to me. Let me tell you why that church is impotent. They are worshiping. They have ceremonies, they have rituals, but all of the celebration, all of the celebratory celebration, the suggestion, of religion is there, but there's no power, there's no anointing. You see, the Ark of the Covenant had been gone for years, and they were still worshiping God as before, but because of the veil, and spiritually speaking, the veil is the inability to see what is currently unavailable. I need to say that again. I see, the veil, spiritually speaking, is the inability to see what is currently unavailable. It's as if God was still there. But the presence of God has been gone for years and years and years, and there is no more Ark of the Covenant, and yet they persist. They persistently in ceremonies as if they didn't even know that the glory of God was gone. They persisted in ceremonies as if they didn't realize that the glory of God was no longer there. You'd be surprised that people who commit to a church or a ministry just as long as the church is perhaps open, and they seem not to realize, not to notice, that there's no move of God. You'd be surprised at how some people are committed to a building and seemingly not notice that there's no presence of God working in that place anymore. You'd be surprised at how much money people will give to a dead, indifferent, cold, unmoved, unconcerned, self-righteous ministry just because they worship at an address, a location, a spot on the ground. And they don't even seem to notice that there hasn't been a move of God. There hasn't been a healing. There hasn't been a deliverance. There hasn't been an anointing. There hasn't been an unction. There hasn't been a touch of the Holy Ghost, not just for a couple Sundays, but for years. It's one thing for my wife to be gone for a month, and we just went to Spokane because her parents were ill. And we didn't plan to be, or rather, she didn't plan to be there for a month. She planned to be there. We were up there for 5 days and we were going to come back. But during that time there, her father got a stroke. So she stayed there for a month. It's the longest time that we had been apart in our marriage. And it's one thing, again, for my wife to be gone for a month, and it's another thing for me not to miss her. What is frightening is that God has ceased to move in that particular synagogue, and the church doesn't seem to miss him. Just doesn't seem to miss him. If you don't miss him, you can't draw him. If you don't miss him, you can't call him. If you don't miss him, you can't seek him. Nobody seeks for anything that they don't know is gone. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord. Somebody help me out. Seek ye the Lord while he, you better believe it, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. What in the world has happened to these people that they regard a day, the day, but not the Lord of the day? The ceremony, but not the Lord of the ceremony. The building, but they forget who's in the building, but not the presence of God. They regard the singing, but forget who they're singing to. They love how they worship, yet they forget whom they're worshiping. What concerns me is when the church does not miss her God. You see, I'm not upset that the White House doesn't miss God. I'm concerned, but not necessarily upset. I'm not upset that the country doesn't seem to miss God or know God. I'm concerned about that, but and some preachers expect the whole world to get saved. I got news for you, it's not going to happen. But what bothers me is when you put a cross in front of your building and you name the name of the Lord, and there's no move of God. Has anybody noticed how long it's been since the service and the saints just couldn't go home? They just couldn't go home. Anybody notice how long it's been since the people were sort of just laid out in their car, slain in the spirit, speaking in tongues, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Has anybody noticed when conviction just broke out all over the house? And someone who's been talking about someone negatively, confesses that and says, "Can you forgive me? I never liked you. I never liked people like you. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit is so strong on me that I just got to come before you and say, forgive me. I've already made it right with him, and I need to make it right with you. Forgive me." When was the last time that somebody just got lost in the Spirit? When was the last time that you came to church and didn't ask who's preaching this week? At Phoenix First Assembly Church, that was a part of for 38 years when Tommy Barnett was not preaching. He wouldn't announce the week prior that he's not going to be in the pulpit because some of the people wouldn't come. The last time you just came to church just to hear from Jesus. No wonder this woman is not healed. She's surrounded by socialites. She's surrounded by religious imposters. She's surrounded by people who are wearing what I call a spiritual facade, a form of godliness, the Bible says, denying the power thereof. And when it came down to confronting a real devil, they couldn't rebuke him because they had gotten friendly with complacency. They had gotten friendly with complacency. 18 years, this woman, twisted woman, came into the church house with no title, with no position, with no recognition, with no importance. I suggest unto you that this girl had more faith than the religious teachers, than the deacon board, than the highfalutin bishops. This broken, twisted, bent over woman said, "I'm coming to the church house even if I don't get healed." I'm still coming to serve God. There's something about a woman with a press. If you keep pressing on, there's something about this woman who lived a life, a long history, 18 years of pain. Jesus was basically stopped in the middle of his message, and he saw her. In other words, if you just keep pressing on, I believe you can get the attention of God if you don't give up, if you don't quit. The Bible says that while Jesus was preaching in the synagogue, he looked through the crowd and he saw her. She got his attention. Her faith wrecked the entire service, distracted even the master teacher. Folks, do not think that what you are going through has gone unnoticed. He saw her 18 years of being unnoticed. Does anybody see me? Does anybody hear me? Does anybody want me? This morning, my sisters and brothers, he's looking right at you. God says, I got my eye on you today. And it's always been on you. The Bible says that Jesus called her over to him and just said, woman, thou art loose. Thou art loose from your infirmity. Maybe you're thinking it's twisted. Maybe your path is twisted. Maybe the road that you are on is twisted. Maybe the relationships that you've had are all twisted up. Jesus touched her, and instantly, she could stand up straight. I just want to close with this. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture that I'm sure maybe Pastor Chris has preached before, John, Brother Gary. The Bible says that Jesus taught his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God or cared about man. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, the judge refused. But finally, he said to himself, I don't fear God. That's been well documented. As a man is towards God, so he is towards man. And I don't feel mad. Yet, because this woman keeps bothering me, keeps pestering me, keeps annoying me, I'm going to see that she gets what she wants because she's going to wear me out with her continual coming. And Jesus says, and listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring justice to his chosen ones who keep calling out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? And he asked his disciples a question. The question is, will he keep putting them off? If I ask you a question, I would expect you to reply to the question that I asked you. But Jesus asked the question, yet he answers the question himself. He answers his own question. You will see that they get justice and quickly. He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in your life? Or will he find some folks? We did the Holy Ghost two-step. As long as their lives were easy. When the 14-year-old daughter comes home and says she's pregnant, when your son comes home, well, he doesn't even come home because the cops come to you and tell you that he's been locked up, will you still be praising God? I thank God for my grandmother who didn't quit praying for me. I remember when I was busted for car theft. And this was the second time. The judge had already told me, if you steal another car, you're going to BIS, Boys Industrial School, in Lancaster, Ohio. My dreams to go to college, my dream to play in the NFL, was just evaporating in front of my eyes because of my horrid, hideous, and heinous decisions. Yet my grandmother didn't look at my circumstances and say, my goodness, that's too hard to pray for. My goodness, I'm going to select something a little more easier. But she looked at a hard-headed grandson who made terrible choices, and she continued to press on. She continued to lift my name up before the Lord. She didn't give up. Now, who is that for this morning? Who is that for this morning in the house? You're looking at the facts. You know, there's a marked difference between fact and truth. Facts are based on experience and knowledge. But truth is derived and birth, and thus saith the Lord. Amen. And the truth is that God could get a hold of this kid and God could begin to do a work in his life. That's why I preach so much about destiny and purpose and vision. Because failure is not failure, nor is it final unless you don't learn from it. I got a Super Bowl ring. It's been appraised at over $15,000. I went to a jeweler in L.A., and he had a loop, and he looked at it. He said, well, that's a nice piece, but I'll say about $6,000. I went somewhere else, and it got lower and lower. It said $4,000. I called Jostens. Manufactured Super Bowl rings, class rings, championship rings. I said, listen, I'm confused. What is the value of the ring that we were given for Super Bowl 11? Mr. Jackson, let me put you on hold. We'll get right back to you. And they got back right to me. And they said, the value of the ring that you were given is approximately $2,500. We go from 15, English major, not a math major, but I know that's about a 13, that's almost a $13,000 variance. I wondered why the difference. Why? Well, of course, it dawned on me that the difference was determined by whom you ask. Because that's called subjective value or subjective opinion, but my value is not determined by your opinion. My value is intrinsic. Intrinsic value. Because goofed up, fooled around, made mistakes, living today with mistakes I made in the 70s. It impacted my life even today. But so what? God can use me and does use me, scars and all. And I believe that there's somebody out there. There's somebody in this house, in the sound of my voice, either online or even up there in the balcony. That you are not the pollination of two bees buzzing around a flower. You're destined for greatness. You may have come into this world. Your mama may have been gang raped, and then you have come into this world. And not wanting the responsibility of raising you, they may have put you in a basket and dropped you off at the circus. But you are still destined for God's greatness. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living
in me, yeah. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without. I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your whole presence living. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
Some of you, it's been a trek. It's been a trek like that 18-year trek it was for that woman. And There's been nothing significantly that has really changed. Change is not change until change happens. But yet you're faithful. You're here at the church house. You're believing God for a healing, but it hasn't come. But yet you just come faithfully. Because you believe God is able and capable to move in spite of the facts. But he wants to move in your life. Perhaps if you'll just give me a couple more minutes here. Because I want to pray for some people. Maybe your situation is twisted. You're on a twisted road. A twisted relationship. A twisted just sense of peace in your life. A twisted sense of your family members. It's just weird, man. But you're still coming. And you're here this morning. I want to pray with you right now. So if God has been speaking to you, I want you to just come and just stand right here. All across this altar. Just come and stand right here. I've got an anointing and a prayer. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I need some prayer warriors to come behind them, if you would. I need some prayer warriors. If you'd come and just stand behind and just lay hands, touching of hands. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. Mm-hmm. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you in your presence, Lord. No matter, God, if it's our first time or, God, if it's our 18th year time, Lord. God, we're coming to the house of God because the presence of God is here. And we believe, God, that you are capable of doing above and beyond what we could ever hope, think, or imagine. Even though the facts paint a different picture, God, we're operating in a truth that's unwavering, Lord. That got us out of bed this morning, that spoke to the demons that tried to keep us in bed. And yet, God, we are here this morning because we are people of faith. Like that woman, part of the covenant, God, we are, by faith, part of that covenant. God, we believe in healing. We believe in breakthroughs. We believe in goodness. We believe in the blessing of God. So, Father, we rebuke the name of the devil. Satan, listen, the blood of Christ is against you. And God, I pray that you would perform your work, your perfect work, in the lives of those who are standing up here right now and those listening online and even those who didn't even come forward. God, that you would have your perfect way, your perfect will. Oh, God, that you would birth something new, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is indeed freedom. And God, I just thank you so much that we felt you and we feel your presence. Oh, God, you're so near to us, Lord. I believe, God, in my heart of hearts, that the work and the word of God is going to complete its mission. And Lord, we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we give it to you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you.
So thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom, God, that I felt this morning. Oh, God, just to be in your presence, in the presence of these, your people. And, God, I thank you for the connective power of the Holy Spirit that can take a word that you spoke to me and connect it and bring it to the hearts and to the minds of the hearers who are in this place and who are listening online. Oh, God, we thank you. This has been a special day, Lord. Anytime we're in your presence, yes, God, it is indeed special. We're rejoiced, Lord, that we can leave this place with the hope and the conviction and the promise you've gone before us. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen and amen. And amen, Pastor Chris. And amen.
Wow.
Hello.
Thank you,
morning.
Brother Joe.
Hi, this is your brother Enoch coming to you. I want to thank you this morning for choosing us to worship, to be with us in the service. I hope you had a good time worshiping this morning with the praise team. And what a wonderful day it's been. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to have Brother Joe Jackson with us this morning to bring the word. And I want to encourage you this morning to keep this word and to know, as he was preaching about, that no matter what you're going through, that keep pressing on, keep praising God, because he sees you. He sees you in the pain. He sees you through the obstacles, but keep praising him, because that's when your deliverance will come. And I am blessed this morning, and I hope you were too. And I want to encourage anyone this morning who is watching us, who feels that you're lost, who feel like you need support, just know that we have your back. And all you have to do is just call the number on your screen. Just someone will be there to answer the phone, to talk to you, to give you some materials, to pray with you, and to support you. Just know that you're not alone. So we thank you for joining us. We thank you for being faithful to us every Sunday. And if there's a possibility that you can come to the house to worship with us, we would love to have you. And when you do come, just come and say hello to let us know that you're watching. And we appreciate that you're faithful. And if this is your first time watching, we would like to offer you, if you don't know Jesus, we would like to offer you that security, that blanket that we have in Christ, in God. And if you would like to have someone pray with you, if you'd like to have someone talk to you, you can call the number on your screen. Tomorrow morning, there'll be somebody there to answer the phone.